T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
As with all our players that have tested positive for COVID, we have continued to monitor them and with our medical staff. And with in Eddie's case, they have discovered some minor complications with him. We're taking everything very seriously in this matter, and we're going to shut Eddie down from baseball activities for a period of time. We're going to reevaluate him in a week to see where he's at. And like I said, it's a mild case, but it's still serious enough to where we feel like to do the right thing with our players and to take care of them, that this is a decision that our doctors and Chaim and his crew and all of us have come up with.
And that may be the first domino we look back on and say, how did all these sports get shut down? Well, as Eduardo Rodriguez and myocarditis, the first we had really heard of, at least I think as far as I could tell, a professional athlete having a heart ailment tied into COVID-19, hour 3 OMF. Ordway this week. He's on vacation. And maybe that ties into now not only college football, but the other sports we're looking at. Deciding, you know what, we can't play because these heart ailments that athletes like Erod are going to get and the long-term impacts that it could have on these players.
And that's exactly what happened in the Big Ten. Apparently, they had 15 players have left with myocarditis after contracting COVID-19. So they say myocarditis is the ball game right now. That was the quote from some source. Myocarditis is the major issue they're looking at between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. That's what's really driving the push. This thing off to the spring. And again, you know, Erod has it. It's inflammation of the heart muscles, causes abnormal heart rhythms, rapid abnormal heart rhythms. So this is something that, and we've heard it before, that, you know, this isn't new. This isn't just from COVID. This is from viruses. Now, it happens to be a virus. It could be from other viruses. You could get it as well. But this is one of the things, and 15 players from the Big Ten have it. And that was a driving force.
Well, here's my question then. If it's something that you can get after any virus, why have we never heard about it before? Because I read the same report that you did yesterday, the doctor in Tuscaloosa saying, we've known about myocarditis forever. And if you get the flu or a certain, you know, SARS cold virus thing, this could affect you. So why is it now being turned into COVID-19 gives you a heart ailment? Because if that's the case, then why haven't other athletes who've gotten the flu or these other viruses that this doctor talked about in Tuscaloosa, they've never been shut down for 3 to 6 months. They've been, to go back to the first hour, the dueling doctors in this Lou debate that he wants to have,
yes,
going on TV and saying, no, I myocarditis, yeah, always, yeah, exists. No,
yeah,
it's a COVID-19 thing. Yeah. Which one is it? Which one is,
yeah,
it?
Who do you believe?
I don't know. I'd like a doctor to call the show. 617-769.
I would want dueling doctors.
7937. Load up your doctor.
It's a virus
calls.
Thing.
Okay, so have you heard about it before Erod got it?
No.
Okay, but if so what I'm saying is thing. Like, I don't know that.
No, I understand, but we've had college football players, you know, in camp, you know, collapse, things like that, right? Before, we remember some of those stories.
Yep, NFL players.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, and so I don't know if we ever get into the details of what really was that myocarditis. You know, I have no clue. But, listen, I think it would be must watch. I think it would be educational if they really did do a national debate about playing college football during COVID. And you had a couple of doctors that were convinced that you can't do it. A couple of doctors are convinced that you could do it. And you just hear them out. Like, I'm not, no matter what side you're on, who wouldn't be interested in that?
I'm trying to think. Now, if you're a sports fan, you're watching that right now. Like, I'm trying to, there's no reason why you wouldn't watch
curious,
that. I don't think
period.
It would change a lot of mind.
If
like,
you're anyone.
I don't think if you're the big Pac-12 today, and we'll get the reaction from a Pac-12 dad in a second. If you're in the Pac-12 and you see some doctor really make a strong stance for it, I don't think he's going to change
your
mind.
You don't think?
Mind.
I mean, I'm no, just, I know the people, the last thing anyone is open-minded, and you can't change anyone's opinion. But, you know, if I'm sitting there saying, just try it, just play college football. And I listened to the doctor, and he gave you, like, good information, a good argument. And you're like, you wouldn't leave it going, I get it. Or, you know, if you were totally against it, and you heard another doctor talking about it, and you don't think anyone would sit there and say, oh, okay.
No, because these certain schools are looking for so certain doctors. They want their opinion.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
Oh, no, whatever.
Again? More news? More?
This is... sponsor of Clear Path for Veterans New
England. Get the sponsorship in there. Listen, I've been working the phones while you guys have been talking. I've been getting a lot of inside information. I can't tell you where. But I'm not nearly as bummed out as I was before the break.
Why?
Because just like the Big Ten, so what we keep hearing is the presidents have voted to cancel the season. Big Ten, Pac-12. Nobody has a clue whether it's unanimous or not. And I can guarantee you that it is not unanimous. There are certain presidents who want to play. And the presidents that want to play,
it's a long breaking,
and know they can play.
Breaking news.
Hold on. I got a backstory.
What are you reading this
backstory,
from?
Backstory.
Okay, who has this report?
Are in safe zones, what they're calling safe zones.
Okay.
So you're going to have football. You're going to have Pac-12. You're going to have Big Ten. It's only going to be teams. The only teams that are going to be playing are going to be teams that are considered safe zones. Cal ain't playing. Stanford ain't playing. USC, Arizona State. Just focus on the Pac-12. So if you want to look at the Big Ten, look at some of the states like Iowa, like Nebraska. They've been very vocal. We want to play. They have no cases. Arizona, probably not so much. Arizona State, probably not so much. But these other schools, Washington, Oregon, we talked about Oregon the other day, zero cases on at their school, zero. So I believe that that this is just the beginning, guys. This is we haven't even scratched the surface of the anger and animosity that is going to come up because of what the presidents have voted. Now, it was not unanimous. This was not a unanimous decision by the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. So there's some outliers out there. There's some rogue schools that are saying, screw it, we need it, we're going to play. It's not our fault you live in Arizona. So it's not our fault you live in L.A.
Are you saying there's actually hope for college football?
Yes, there is a lot of hope.
Okay, well, I'm going
to
play this.
Wait, what was the point? Ratings and comments related to any topic or person between the hours of 2 to 6 p.m. on WEEI 93.7 FM are the sole opinions of Christian Fourier.
Go wait, so the breaking news is that there's hope?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, he's hanging on by a thread. Okay, we're watching a man.
Yeah.
What's that movie, Falling Down, with Michael Douglas, where he just goes on a rampage?
Where he gets stuck in traffic.
So Christian's just going to leave his car.
This is him right now. He's going to shoot up an angrily, some sort of fast food place.
Do you think this is the end?
Start yelling at people.
You think that just because this is not the end.
Okay, so what conference is going to want to say, okay, so let's use the ACC.
Forget about conference.
The ACC is going to play.
The ACC, the whole conference is going to play.
Okay, but so who these safe zone teams, they're going to play each other? Who's going to want to travel?
Yes. What do you mean? Yes.
Wait, no, if teams want to play, they're going to absolutely
Munt,
try.
If you have five teams, if you have five, here's the other thing they're going to do. They're going to treat it like the NFL. So we only have five teams. We can't play other teams. Although I heard that, you know, all these conferences are going to be playing schools in the SEC, the ACC, and the Big Ten. So it's not just going to be, you're not just going to have Pac-12 teams playing against Pac-12 teams. You may have five teams in the Pac-12. If they can't get other games, they'll treat it like the NFL. They'll treat it like the AFC East. They'll play each other twice. They'll just keep it going.
But why? If they can't crown a national champion or a league champion, what's the point to play? Just to play?
Money. Mutt.
What?
Okay. Money.
So where does that?
The girls' volleyball team, they need to buy those shorts.
So Nebraska in a similar sport. So the Fourier source is suggesting that the Pac-12 team is going to find these safe zone places in play. All right? Well, Nebraska's saying is something similar. They had a joint statement from the chancellor, the president, the AD, and the football coach, Scott Frost. And the final paragraph is as follows. We'll continue to consult with medical experts and evaluate the situation as it emerges. We hope it may be possible for our student athletes to have the opportunity to compete. So let's use Nebraska and, I don't know, Colorado as examples. So they play, and there's no game on schedule for it. They just get TV networks, just pay them money to play. Where does that money go? Does it go to conferences? Does it go to the teams
themselves?
Well,
that's going to be an issue because
it seems very, very convoluted.
It is complicated and convoluted, both. But I do think that these schools are going to play. Why should a school that has no issues and is handling the situation perfectly suffer because the other schools can't and are too scared to do it? You think Michigan is going to sit there or Jim Harbaugh is going to sit there and say, forget it? Yeah. That whole long list of like bragging rights for what his team was doing? No, they are playing. They will figure out if it could be six games, it could be five. I also believe that they'll figure this out, and there will be bowl games. There will be. This is, you know,
there's no fans. What's the point of putting a bowl game on?
I mean, how many bowl games are you going to have?
TV again? I mean,
every single team that decides to play football this year.
You can't play BCS bowl games because not all the BCS teams are playing. So the BCS tournament's done.
I think you have a blank slate. You have no travel issues. You have no issues with, okay, fans buying tickets and not being able to go to the game because they won't be at the game. So you just hold the damn game just like the NBA does. You fly in the day of or the day before. You stay at a hotel that has nobody in it. This is what these athletic directors are talking about. The progressive ones, the ones that have the doctor from Duke. Those guys.
In Tuscaloosa. Not the ones from Stanford.
Not the ones from Stanford and Cal. They're not doing it. I just feel like everyone's making a big deal out of this. But if you actually think that these presidents that voted to play are just going to sit back and just take it, what I've heard is it's been real contentious. It's been real just loud. It's been aggressive. It's been matter of fact.
Here's where the contention comes from real quick. So the doctor, Dr. Drenzer, who talked about the myocardial inflammation, people can get it and feel fine, never even know they had it. Most athletes who get myocarditis will be able to safely return to sports after restriction of activity of 3 to 6 months. But he said that in some cases, the inflammation can turn to scar tissue and put the patient at risk for a regular heartbeat that can lead to a sudden cardiac arrest, which can be triggered by exercise. That paragraph there is going to scare a lot of
Maybe it should.
Maybe we're playing scared.
I changed my mind. Shut it down.
But that's going to scare a lot of programs and presidents saying, you know what, I know you want to play, but it's not worth the risk when you read something like that.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Like, you have to have the other voice. So because when he says that, I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I remember, you know, getting a second opinion, like we mentioned. The first doctor says you should never play again. The next doctor says, oh, no, I see this all the time. You're good.
Right, two doctors. Why do I go get a second opinion if every doctor is 100% correct?
Yeah, so it's like, so that they exist for a reason.
And to your point.
Because doctors are wrong.
The contention is, you know, you're a president. Let's say you're the president of Duke. And you look at your one of your most credible doctors, you know, in your university, and he says you can play. And the doctor's like, you know, if we don't play football, or any of these universities in the SEC or wherever, if we don't play football, you know, like Nebraska, Frost said, the head coach there, said if we don't play football, our university loses $100 million, and we won't be able to pay for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the university president is probably sitting there saying, hold on, I have a very credible doctor at my university. You know, and we had a discussion, and he's not just a football fan who wants it so badly. He's a professional, and he's telling me we can play football. So should I listen to him? Because if he says we can play, well, damn it, we really should, because, you know, that's $60, $80 million, $100 million for our university. So I'm going to listen to that guy, right? So
he's telling you what you want to hear, and it's financially good for you. Yeah.
AD of Tennessee and all these other schools, SEC schools, and they're like, listen, everybody we're talking to says these kids can play, and we have the right protocol, and we can go about it. So if that's the case, why should we just cancel it if the professionals, the experts, are telling me that they can play? Why should I just forfeit $100, $120 million for my university?
And just to add to it, how it relates to the NFL, so I saw Chris Mortensen was tweeting out that the doctors that the ACC used were the same doctors that the NFL used. So they used... Not saying they were trying to push the agenda. It's not like they just used one, but you do need to hear both sides. And then you need to figure out, you just need to ask yourself this question, you know, can you afford to be wrong? Or how comfortable are you being wrong? because you most likely could be wrong. So are you okay with that? And then make
which
a decision.
Side would you rather be wrong on? Would you rather be wrong? And
oh, there you go.
That's the risk.
Well, let me ask you this: so myocarditis, right? 15 guys in the Big Ten have it. All right, whatever. Is that going to just go away in the fall for the NFL? Like this, I'm just saying. Like myocarditis,
well, NFL to me
is,
get it too.
Is a game changer.
Or did the guys already have it? And we're talking about saying, now is this tied to COVID-19?
It's a game changer. And I remember that day when E-Rod came down with this thing, because for a while he just sat there and said, "Listen, these guys are good athletes. They're going to get it, but are they really going to get sick? You know, what kind of issues they have?" And then all of a sudden, here comes myocarditis. So is this virus or this condition of the heart a game changer when it comes to, you know, to the NFL, to the NFL season? These kids have it. I mean, we saw the game changer hit in the NFL and in NCAA, or at least in some conferences. So I think it's going to be hard to kind of just fight through that. I could get it. It could affect my heart. It could affect this and that. I mean, that's going to be tough to fight through.
And the other thing is, like, it's you're really, I think you're stupid if you think that you're not going to have to be dealing with this in the spring of 2021.
I agree with you
100%. You're going to have to be dealing
with it. Ain't going away.
You remember what we were saying in March? Oh, we got lots of time. Oh, yeah, no worries, no worries, no worries. Oh, by the time we get to September, everything will be fine. It isn't. It's basically the same. Basically the same. And I would almost say it's even worse, because people have just been, they bunkered down and they just do not want to poke their head out of the sand until they are 100% sure it is safe to come out.
And college campuses are a lot like that. And so you're going to need people like the SEC to stand up. If you want college football this year, to me, it feels like it's the SEC is going to end up being the last conference standing. And if the heart issue ends up being a bigger deal, then that goes back to where I said yesterday. They aren't going to play college football this year.
Well, I feel like I should get credit for breaking news.
That there's hope.
Does that count?
No.
Your opinion is breaking news?
What?
I got
breaking news.
Like you're, this is
I
like
gave you a safe
literally
zone.
Literally what you're praying
safe
for.
Zone.
You're praying for this
no,
to happen.
No, no, no.
This
I,
is what
I
you
have real
want to happen.
Christian, I'll tweet at Pete Thamel and tell him you're wrong.
Yeah. Safe zones, Thamel. We'll explain all this coming up at 617-779-7937 after a trending on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Look out, folks. This is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. Laureano sprinted toward the dugout, and this is not good, folks. This is exactly what Major League Baseball said you absolutely cannot do. Ramon Laureano didn't like what he was hearing from the dugout, and he started sprinting right at the dugout.
And that's the problem, no fans in the stands. You hear everything. You hear everything.
That was just a couple of days ago between the A's and Astros. The thing that took really over the course of three games in that series, OMF, no Ordway's on vacation today. Laureano got hit twice in the same game, three times in a series, five A's hit altogether, and it led to Laureano charging the dugout, Alex Cintron, Lou's buddy, one of the punk moves of all time, asking him to charge. Excuse me, Christian? Again? 2 days in a row?
Why can't you?
We caught the audio because we all heard it again. We all heard it again for the second time. You crapped yourself on the air in the 4:15 segment.
Why do you have to make a big...
Because the audience can hear you farting on the air.
You could be a duck.
What duck would be in studio right now? There are ducks allowed in here. It's COVID season.
Nobody knows what that
is.
It was my chair. I
just
moved
again for the second straight day.
I'm really sick of you guys acting like that.
It's poor pants of yours over there. Your buddy Cintron, it came down today. He gets 20 games. Laureano gets 5 games. And I would say Cintron is fine. Laureano, too many games here right now for based on what he did. He was challenged by a coach. He got hit twice in the same game. What did he do wrong? Nothing ever happened from that charge. Cintron's games are fine, but Laureano didn't deserve that many. It's like Joe Kelly didn't deserve 8 games.
When this happened, I remember like Bowden said, you know, I think it was Jim Bowden, said Cintron should be suspended for the rest of the season, the postseason.
Dale said that too.
I tweeted right away and said, that's a little extreme. And I was like, 20, 25 games. But in talking more about it, I could see that side of the argument. I'm just saying, I wouldn't have had a problem. Right? He's a hitting coach. You know, it's like, what are you doing? The dude got drilled twice, 3 times in a series. I mean, is your team really hitting the Oakland A's 5 times in the series? You guys didn't get hit once? 5 times and you're going to pop off? Did you hit him 5 times because Mike Fiers is over there and he ratted your ass out? So you're pissed off at the Oakland A's? And you're going to pop off and challenge a guy and tell him, hey, why don't you come get me and apparently say something about his mother and step on the field like you want to fight him? So I understand that argument. 20 games I'm okay with. Laureano, he got 6. I would give him 2. Like 2 games.
He'll probably appeal it down and get less.
I hope he appeals it down and gets 3.
To do it. He got hit. He's appealing according to Bob Nightingale and others. So it should be knocked down. And it's embarrassing. The bigger picture here is that it's embarrassing the Astros are allowed to continue to do this now and hit as many people as they want. And you can't hit them for fear of being what happened to Joe Kelly, get banged 8 games for not hitting anybody. Manfred has handled this poorly from the beginning.
Did he do it again? I mean, Laureano's a starting center fielder for the Oakland A's who are playing great right now. He's got to sit for 5 games. The Houston Astros hitting coach got suspended for 20. So which Cintron, suspension affects Cintron, it more?
Cintron should have been. Gone for the year.
But even if he was gone for the year, I would say Laureano's 5-game suspension is still
too much.
Cintron.
I agree, but it's one of those things where you got to give him something, right?
Why?
Well, you hit his wallet.
Hold on.
He got hit twice in a game.
For the record.
He charged for a brawl that didn't do anything.
Okay,
I'm
on your side, but based on based on their history, it's almost like, listen, I don't want to punish you. I know you were just hanging out with your friends, and you weren't the one who actually do it, but you were there, and I got to give you something.
That's a terrible analogy. Christian, is you'd say, Laureano.
How
was
that a terrible analogy?
Because you're comparing it to hanging out with friends. This is simple.
No.
Here's what this one is. You were provoked to do this. You got provoked. You didn't deserve
just
it.
As good.
We're not going to suspend you because we understand what happened.
Okay.
And by the way, a coach called out your mother. We understand it's a different scenario. We're not going to take the,
you know what
the
I'm
step
saying
of
to
suspending
that?
You.
You know better. You know not to take the cheese. You know not to get provoked. Just listen. You took the bait, and they provoked you. They antagonized you, and I have to put here's the hard thing. The hardest thing is to do nothing. Like, okay, just let this guy talk crap about me?
For baseball, the hard thing would have been nothing, apparently.
Well,
but
my point
to
is that
him, make
they
a
expect
po-
you,
point they're sending,
they like. Expect you to live by these rules that are almost impossible based on just human nature. Somebody talks about your mom, somebody constantly challenges you, and you're just, how much am I supposed to take? Well, all of it.
Well, the other thing, I agree. And Cintron, apparently, Alex Cintron released a statement, the Houston Astros hitting coach. He said, I accept Major League Baseball suspension and I'll learn from this. Although I never referenced Ramon's mother, my actions were inappropriate. I apologize for my part in Sunday's unfortunate incident. Coaches held to a higher standard. Hopefully coaches in the future learn from this, whatever. Did you guys see Laureano's comment last night? I regret charging Cintron because he's a loser. But
good for him.
The thing is,
good for him.
He got drilled for the 2nd time in a game. You know what I mean? And he didn't charge the mound. He was giving him something. The pitcher who hit him, who, by the way, the first time he got hit in a series was by the same kid. So the same kid drilled him twice in a series.
Is it Castellanos?
Castellanos. Yeah. And it was the 2nd time he got hit in a game. And he didn't charge the mound. He wasn't screaming left and right at the kid. He put his hand out and was like, dude, your slider, you got to bend it at the end. You got to snap
it. Had some fun with it.
Yeah, you got to snap it. You know, your slider's just spinning. He was messing around, right? I mean, the guy got drilled twice. He could have taken off. It could have been went nuts. But he didn't. And Citron's popping off to him? Like, he's the one that got drilled twice.
I know.
I think it feels good.
But it's all about optics with this also. Because if somebody does something wrong, you're supposed to be above it. You're supposed to say, you know, make a good example. And I think it's ridiculous because I think everybody has a breaking point. But how do you have to somehow punish them, even though you believe they were right, even though you believe they were provoked. And Citron had it coming. He had it coming.
Yeah.
But you know what? Listen, optics, and we have to punish you. We can't give you nothing. But, I mean, one is not enough. It's obvious.
So if Laureano stood at first base and Citron popped off and gestured to him to come on and took a step and a half onto the field and almost like gave him a little half a step, like, I'm coming to get you. And Laureano just sat there and looked at him with his hands up like, what are you doing? You think Citron would have been suspended?
Zero games. Right? Because the brawl didn't start.
Because nothing happened. He would have got zero games.
He would have gotten zero. And he deserved the 20.
Nobody would have started.
So they would have screwed up the punishment
here. So Citron, let's go. So get your butt over here. Who's the other guy? Laureano. Doesn't do anything?
Nobody gets anything.
Citron should still be punished.
I agree, but
it wouldn't have happened. I agree. Would not have happened. No way.
For provoking a player that the player doesn't come get? I know, but you don't think that the coaches and bench coaches and pitching coaches need to be held accountable their actions?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in the reality, it wouldn't have been much of a story.
So it's not a story.
I mean, you get guys in the bench chirping to someone else on the bench all the time.
They didn't hold the Astros
at each other, but nothing happens. So nobody goes on the field, so literally nothing happens.
But do you think that if that was the case, like, nobody gets suspended?
Yeah, I don't think so.
See, I think
I think Dusty Baker should be suspended here. They hit five guys in three games, and you can't throw back at them. Where's the punishment for their coaching staff? Like, they just keep throwing at guys because they know you can't throw back at them, or you get eight games like Joe Kelly did. Baseball has effed this up from the beginning, they're protecting the Astros after protecting the Astros for cheating.
Yeah,
they're still doing it.
This has such a long, long just shrapnel effect. It just, you know, I get it. You tried to do the right thing. How did you think that everybody wasn't going to take matters into their own hands? It's frontier justice. Screw it. You're not doing anything about it, Sheriff. I'm forming a posse. Let's go. We're going to handle it ourselves.
But it wasn't even
eight games for Joe Kelly.
I'd feel better about that, though.
The posse's being suspended.
Posse's on Broadway.
You get drilled five times in a game, in a series. Like, it's hard to believe the score is 5-0. You know, I mean, you don't come back and hit anybody
That's
else.
That's a scoreboard because they're afraid to do it.
That's what I'm saying. So the starting pitcher comes out and is like, dude, you drilled us five times. Hey, Rob, is it okay for us to drop somebody right now? We've been getting hit all series long because apparently they're upset that, you know, the rat, you know, Mike Fiers is on our team. So they can just hit us all they want. Because I guarantee if somebody dropped somebody, he would have got suspended just for hitting him. But five times is good? No, it's. I tell you the other interesting thing, too, is the Astros. I don't know if you looked them up, but they're really not that good. See Altuve's hitting .183?
Oh, funny, without the buzzer on his shoulder.
Your boy Springer's hitting .182?
Former UConn product.
It's called...
Bregman's hitting .2.
Future Red Sox.
He had a good night last night, I think, to get him up to .224.
Oh. It's called shame.
Weird how that works.
It's shame.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
It's almost like shame. Subconsciously they know they don't deserve what they're doing right now. So I honestly believe that's a thing. But shame will get to you.
Oh, we will come back and we'll talk about the playoff team tonight, your Boston Bruins. They begin their cup run, and the national media says they have no chance to win. After one other breaking piece of this college football story that's happened all afternoon, Big Ten football done, Pac-12 football done. Pac-12 just announced all sports to the end of the calendar year are done. So Pac-12 college basketball done until 2021, which have a ripple effect everywhere.
Good for them, keeping their athletes safe.
Okay, here we go. Bruins and Carolina Hurricanes tonight. The national media is all picking the Hurricanes. We'll explain coming up on OMF.
The Red Sox, the first two innings have been outscored 21-4.
Yeah.
They're getting demolished.
Yeah. But that's your starting pitching. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So the flip side, 21-4 in the first two innings. It usually is because of the starters, not the relievers.
Nothing like Ordway leading a pregame baseball show.
Oh, it can happen a lot this year. You guys are the head of the pregame.
I'm officially making an executive order change. You are now in charge of that pregame show. Whenever there is a game that
it's not true. Nope. In fact, day game next week
starts when we still have our show.
Next Wednesday. It won't be you guys, but Dale and Keefe will handle the pregame show next Wednesday. Lou and I handle it Thursday for the 4:30 game. You don't have to be here, but we'll handle
good,
it.
Good.
We'll get the heavy lifting done. But yeah, there's a lot of day games left for you.
And but that's your starting pitching. That's the problem.
Well, also, yeah. Glenn, also openers. It's not really starters. There can be openers, too.
Yeah, openers.
Glenn nailed that. I like when you guys talk baseball. It's a good one for your good baseball pregame show.
Yeah.
You don't want to be part of
locked
that?
In.
No, I just feel like, you know, we end up doing what Greg Hill does with Lou every Tuesday.
Morning at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we just interview.
I visit my boys in the morning. I like talking to them.
Like, I love it the other day. I don't know when it was, the first time we did it. Glenn was like, so Christian, what do you think about this when they do this and they do this? And I was like, I wasn't even paying attention.
Well, that's good.
I was like, this is Lou's show. I'm just kind of, I'm like the sidekick that every now and then I say something funny.
Well, you've now developed a new tick when you can't have anything to say. You just fart on the air. Like, that's what you do. You lift your hands
Stop
in the air.
Saying that. Stop
2 days in a row.
You know what?
Really?
It's not even true.
It's 2 days in a row. And by the way, this is now. Eamon just texted me. Eamon, they have you on camera for the second straight
that's
day.
That's not true.
Going like this, putting your butt cheek in the air, just letting it go like you're a real man, which is fine. Why are you hiding from it, though?
I have what are you nervous a bathing about? Suit on, and every time the shorts ride up my leg, my skin rubs against the leather seat, which creates that sound.
You're a pollutant.
Why are you trying to fight it?
Fight what?
Just be a man. Let it go. You got gas.
I'm like the Pac-12. I'm like the safe zone teams in the Pac-12.
You're quitting?
Big Ten.
You're done?
No, no.
You're
going to
form an independent league?
You're
caving to pressure? You're playing optics, man?
Yeah, that's the key. Their problem is they're fighting the wrong battle. They need to fight optics, man. Got to find them.
Oh, the optics are not good for your Boston Bruins because the national media wants no part of them. We'll get to explain that in a second, but... to lead us into it, Dan Roach saw this today, and he was very upset. When the national media picks against his team, he had to ask the coach how he feels about the media picking on his club.
Hey, Bruce. Hope you're doing well. Just a thought on your team and the message to your team today as you start this process. And I don't know if you've seen, but surprisingly, a lot of people picking the Hurricanes to win this series. just your thoughts on maybe being a bit of an underdog coming in with the team that you have here.
Oh, Dan.
I like the chuckle. Imagine picking your team
that?
As an underdog.
Dan is so ashamed that he actually has to include that. It's like, you know, some people, not me, you know me, I am 100% Team Bruins.
That. Some people. You can some hear it in his people, voice. I would never pick against you, coach.
It's like anonymous source.
Hope you're doing well, coach. Hope you're healthy, coach.
So crazy to think. They're going to lose. I got game one here tonight. I'm excited to watch playoff hockey. I hope that there's a little bit more excitement. Because I feel like everything has been preseason, especially with the way this team has played. But yeah, I'm you know, we got playoff hockey tonight, so it actually means something. I don't think it's going to go well because I think they're kidding themselves with this. Oh, it's only preseason. They sound like a team that went 0-4, trying to convince themselves they weren't trying. That's what it is. You know, you're in eighth grade. Well, you beat me, but I wasn't trying. Yeah, and I hate the whole idea. And it starts with Bruce Cassidy, who I think is a very good coach in this league. I hate the message he sent to his team. He convinced his team this was an exhibition season. So when we went out, they played like crap. And I personally don't think they can flip the switch.
See, I think you have it. Their response being more of a sour grapes. We didn't want it anyways.
Well, let me ask
why
you.
Why do we care? Listen, why are you being so hard on us? We didn't want it anyways.
They go 3-0. They play really good. Do you think we'd be talking about how these games didn't mean anything?
If the coach said in June what he said, Lou, yes, you keep ignoring that the coach in June
said. It's
the
wrong approach.
You can say that now if they win. The wrong approach if they win or wrong approach if they lose? What if they lose all three games as they did and they go on win the Stanley Cup or get to a Stanley Cup final? You can look back and say this was the wrong approach or say, boy, nobody got hurt. They built up their momentum, and Marchand and the players bought in and believed in the confidence of their coach, who said on June 16th, it's a preseason mentality.
If they win this series, then of course, like what I'm saying right now won't be true. I understand that. But if they lose this series, is anybody going to call them out? Because all I do is see everybody locally. I see Joe Haggerty. Joe.
Oh.
It's absurd. People are worried about the Bruins after losing the glorified exhibition games. He says, you know, full disclosure, this humble hockey writer is getting a kick out of panicked fans going all Chicken Little about the Bruins pretty much sucking in the round robin. They may feel pretty silly once the President's Trophy winning Bees show up for the real playoffs starting Tuesday night against the Hurricanes. All right, so is there a chance, Joe, you could look really silly if they get their asses blown out by the Hurricanes? Is there a chance that could happen? And then do you think you'll write an article saying, you know what? Maybe Bruce Cassidy and this group had the wrong approach in these tune-up games. And they just thought they could just flip the switch. Is that going to happen? Because there's a chance he could look very silly, right?
Sure, there's a chance Cassidy could look very right by doing this.
I think they have him. I think the Bruins have the rest of the league, the rest of the playoff teams, right where they want them. I believe that this number four seeding is a blessing in disguise. Like, you want it, completely removes the expectations. When you're the number one seed, you're supposed to be the best seed. Hey, you're the number one seed. There's a one in front of it. That means something. Being the number four seed, I think, allows them some under-the-radar, underdog mentality. And I think that's what they need. I think...
Because you think they're soft. I don't think they can handle expectations.
Do you think the Patriots, of all the Super Bowls, give me one of those Super Bowl-winning teams where they actually thought, hey, we're better than everybody. Every single team that won a Super Bowl believed they were underdogs, believed that they were being disrespected. This whole criticism and all these guys that are picking against them, it's the best thing to happen for
them. Okay, maybe picking against them, but you can't sit there and say, oh, for the fourth seed? Because they did it to themselves. So how the hell do you sit there and say, yo, we're the fourth seed, let's motivate us. We're not a fourth seed, we're a better team than that. Well, you're the fourth seed because of what you did. You went out and played like crap for three games. Like, I think Joe Haggerty, if this team went out and won games, would be writing an article about how important those three games are and how it's important to play well going into the postseason. And how, you know, this was the best team before the break, they're the best team after the break, and they're going to show they're the best team when it's all over. Because this is such a focused group, a veteran group. Look at the way they played coming out of the bubble. That's what veteran teams do. But no, they lost all of them. All four of them. Even the exhibition one. Looked horrible. And you're going to tell me that that's a good thing?
Well, I think they got lucky in a sense. You say the four seed is good because they're under the radar. The four seed is good for, well, the way I view it. If the top four seeds all advance in Philadelphia, Tampa, Washington, and the Bruins, you avoid Tampa in that second round.
Philly's better.
Right? I mean, I feel like on paper, maybe Philly had something to prove. They're back in the playoffs. They cared about this round-robin thing.
Philly's the best.
I don't know
if
Tampa did. I don't know if Washington did. I don't know if the Bruins did.
Ovechkin, I think Philly had the best record in hockey since December.
Yep. And they came out with 2-1 or 3-0 in this run in the round-robin because they're a younger team who I think still has something to prove. I don't think the Bruins had to prove anything in these three games. Maybe you're right, Mayor. They're a better team. But I am more fearful of Tampa than I am Philadelphia, and you avoid them now. In my mind, the most talented team, and maybe the injury affects them. But if all the seeds hold, and probably won't happen in hockey anyway, you don't have to play Tampa in that second round. That's good.
I do think there is some anger and disgust that went along with the way the NHL decided to reseed, you know, after, you know, the season, you know, started up again. How I feel like they felt like they were disrespected. Like, they had such a big lead amongst the second best team that no one was going to catch them. No one was going to catch them, so they would lose the number one seed. Yet, you have to sit there and tell me I have to go back and earn it again?
Yeah, see, so to me, that's sort of like, you know, we're the best team in hockey, and now we feel like this seeding thing is stupid.
Yeah.
So we're going to take our ball and go home and not try.
Exactly.
We'll show you. We won't try.
No, I do think they were like, holding their breath. I feel they were holding their breath, you know, and having a small little, you know, passive-aggressive tantrum.
Listen, I just think that there'll be more credibility to this argument if Bruce Cassidy sat Chara for two, gave McAvoy a game off, you know, Bergeron, you know, a night off, Krejci a night off, Marchand a night off. If he did that, fine. If Bergeron played 10 minutes in a game instead of the 18 that he played in every single freaking game, or if, like, the first power play unit, they didn't put the first power play unit out there. They're just mixing and matching and just working on conditioning or something. But that wasn't the case. First power play unit was out there. They went 0-9. All the pairings were out there. The lines were out there. Second line he messed a little bit with, but he's been doing it all year. The minutes were there. They just didn't play well, and they just making excuses, hiding behind the fact that they didn't play well.
Well, yeah. Here was Bruce Cassidy's answer when Rochie was done laughing about all the people picking against him nationally about the prognostications.
I don't concern myself with predictions, Dan. We'll be ready to play. We came into this with a mindset that we were going to build towards game one, and our intention is to be in it for the long haul. So that's a bit of the reasoning behind it. This almost feels like a brand new season for obvious reasons, so we got to prove it on the ice tonight.
And so I think he has done this a couple times to this team, and I underrated Cassidy. Like, his players love him. They bought into this. They all said the same thing. Tuukka Rask said it. Brad Marchand said it. They're echoing their coach. They treated it like the preseason, and I don't think they're going to, look at this as an opportunity where they're going to. It's not going to be an excuse. I think they're going to recognize their coach, allow them this chance to ramp up, and they're going to ramp up starting tonight. I have much more confidence in them being able to turn it on.
We'll see.
I think the speed and the energy is going to be such a significant difference.
Me too.
Than any of these games, and but you still think they're going to lose?
Well, because I think Carolina's speed, as you just mentioned, is going to be the deciding factor. Yes, they're fast. And he's talking about predictions. This was beautiful. So I don't know if you saw this or not, but in ESPN, they had 15 of their experts, so-called experts, picking this series. 13 of them took the Hurricanes, which we tweeted out this little information.
I don't recognize
any OMF of the
names.
On WEI.
On the OMF and WEI. You can check it out.
Is Christian Foray on that list, Hockey Insider?
Great fault. No, Christian wasn't on this.
Well, then it's really
and
no
it
list.
Got, of course, Hags, who I love. I just think he's extremely biased and loves this team and wants to win a cup. Says, I've never heard of 9 of these people, so I wouldn't exactly call them experts. Like 3 crying emojis. So he hasn't heard of 9 of these guys. So there's no credibility. I would ask you, Hags, have you ever heard of John Buchigross?
Yes, I have.
He's got the Hurricanes.
Yep.
Linda Cohn.
Friend of the show. Love her. Yes, I've heard of her.
Got the Hurricanes. How about Don LaGreca of New York?
Actually, no, I haven't heard of him.
Oh, he's got the Hurricanes. Have you heard of Barry Melrose?
I have heard of
nice
him,
yes. Nice hair on him.
That's pretty good, though, for me.
He's got the Hurricanes. How about Greg Wyshynski, a.k.a. Puck Daddy? You know who he is?
Well, I've heard of Puck Daddy, yes. Okay. Puck Daddy and I actually had a little beef about Char a couple years
ago. I'm going to give you... everyone remembers that.
I'm going to give
you... forget?
One guess who Puck Daddy thinks is going to win this
30
series.
For 30 on that coming up.
Carolina.
Yes. So do you know those 5 people?
I do.
Are those 5 people
4
credible?
Of the 5 I know.
Because they all picked Hurricanes. I know you want to 3 crying emojis and be like, these aren't the experts. Do you know those guys? Wyshynski? Melrose? You know, Buchigross? Okay. All right, we'll see. Whatever.
So you're saying we'll speed, see. Lou. I think a lot of these guys are getting caught up in the actual results of the bubble game.
You seen Trevor play so far?
Yesterday. He's a little slow.
A little slow right now. A little slow.
But I just heard the coach say they're sort of pacing up. So they're pacing up to that game.
Kind of like Kemba Walker. Kind of eight minutes. Always
minutes. I'll tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like Kyrie Irving in April. Regular season. What you see, what you watch, we'll flip the switch, come playoffs, and they beat completely undermanned Indiana team that sucked down the stretch with no Oladipo, and they won the first game of the Bucks, and everyone's like, wow, Kyrie was right. You could even say the word right before they got their doors blown off in the next, whatever, 4 games. See ya. We'll see. Flip the switch. Dynasty. Flip the switch.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say they're
the
dynasty,
Patriots.
But they have a lot of back.
They're not just showing up for the first time and like, oh, can they do this?
They were in the Stanley Cup last year.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear this group's won a Stanley Cup.
Well, so,
Jara has.
The core Bergeron has won, right?
Krejci has.
That's a big part of the core.
Oh, okay, 4 guys. I guess. Yeah, they're on the team. Yes, I get it. But I don't think Jara is a real factor. As a matter of fact, I think it'll be a liability in this team against these guys and that speed. I just don't see it happening. Listen, I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see it happening. They're going to lose tonight. They're going to lose this series.
It starts tonight at 8 o'clock. Is it a championship or bust for Bruins fans here? Like, you got to get to a cup and represent the Eastern Conference, or this thing ends up being a failure in a weird year when you were supposed to be going in as the top dog in the East. 617-779-7937, the phone number this hour of OMF, brought to you by 495 Chrysler Deep Jeep Dodge Rams summer clearance event. Get your new 2020 Jeep Renegade today. We'll address that and the shutting down of college football conferences today in the final hour of OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.